Well, here we are, spiritual beings in a spiritual place doing our spiritual work. But as we well know, the path to awakening is rarely smooth. Most of us, for example, can think of someone or something that really pushes our buttons. It could be a certain person. It could be a certain issue or topic. It could be a certain situation. Very high on my list of hot button situations is being tailgated. So when I am driving along, minding my own business, and I look up in my rearview mirror and I see a car right on my tail, or even worse, and this seems to happen way more often, a huge truck bearing down on me, I get very anxious. And then I get very angry. And I begin talking to the driver behind me, which of course they can't hear, and it's a good thing they can't, because I'm not really in my most ministerial mode at that point. So we all have times like this, right? We have times when our buttons get pushed and we kind of lose our cool. We call it being triggered. And when we're triggered, we react. Boom, we react. We react usually instantly. And in that reaction, we rarely show up as our highest and best self. Am I right? Yeah. In fact, it's almost as if in that time we have gone unconscious. Right? Because we're not operating from our conscious, mature brain. We are coming from really being driven by our reflexive, reactive instincts. It's like our base animal instincts. Reacting. Well, when we understand how the brain operates, it helps us see why this happens. So there's a doctor named Dan Siegel. He's from UCLA, and he's created this wonderful model called the hand model. You can look it up on YouTube, the hand model for how the brain operates. So in this analogy, the brain looks like this. I'll talk about it more in just a moment, but so you can imagine kind of how this fits into our bodies, it would be like this. So this would be the part behind the forehead here. This is one of the interactive parts of the service today. So hold up your hand and open it up. Great. So in this model, this right here, coming up your arm, is your spinal cord. And it connects to your skull at the brain stem. At this bottom part of the brain stem is your reptilian brain. This is in charge of your autonomic responses. It is also the seat for where you have your fight or flight or freeze instinct or response. Above that, in the thumb that you have so conveniently folded over, this is your limbic brain. The limbic brain is the seat of your feelings, of your emotions. Now cover it over with your fingers. This covering part is the cortex of the brain. It's the thinking and reasoning part. And the prefrontal cortex, this part in the front here, is particularly important because it integrates all the other parts of the brain. See, it brings them all into the right balance. And this is how we remain connected and in harmony and flexible. You may put your hands down. So what happens when we have a triggering event is that the stimulus comes in and hits us at the reptilian brain right here, which causes a quick reaction, and it also affects the limbic brain right here, so we begin to have feelings, just like me getting angry as I'm looking in the rearview mirror. In this situation, this is happening so quickly that the cortex isn't even engaged. We're not really giving it time. We're not thinking. We're not being thoughtful about a response. And so what basically happens is we flip our lids. We flip our lids. Do it with me. Put your hand, your thumb in, close your fingers. Ready? We flip our lids. Do it again. Very good. That's kind of how it feels, isn't it? Like, whew, man, I'm kind of out of control here, right? Yeah. Now, some people, probably no one you know, but some people tend to live their lives kind of in this mode a lot of the time, in the sense that a stimulus comes along and they react. And wait for the next stimulus comes along and they react. And constantly this. You don't have to admit it. And so this is what life becomes. What a terrible way to live. Really. It's not how we're meant to live. That's a very healthy and unfulfilling way of life. Because think about it for a moment. If you're being driven by your reptilian brain, well, you're basically being a reptile. I mean, you're basically working from your animal instincts, your most base instincts. In that mode, there's a sense of sort of heightened awareness, being almost on constant alert, correct? What's coming at me next? Oh my gosh, what's it going to be now? And so you just pour stress into your body, which is terrible for your mental, your physical, your emotional health, and you radiate that out to other people. And not only that, the worst of it is that when you're living from these parts of your brain, you're completely overlooking the greatest gift we have in our ability to think and reason and connect and integrate. You're completely giving up your power. Because when you're like this, you're just a victim of circumstance, right? Well, whatever happens, I guess I'll just hang in there. When you do this, you bring to bear all of your God-given gifts to create the life that you want, that you dream of. We have incredible abilities to do that, but it takes our whole brain. You know, we're not meant to live like this. We're not meant to live from the lowest level of consciousness. We're here on earth to rise in consciousness. We're here to discover the truth of who we are. You know, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Well, the truth is that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. That we are not simply cause and effect. We are not simply animals reacting to what is going on. We are the allness of God expressing in, through, and as us. So there's another model, which also happens to be a hand model. I'm going to lay the brain aside for a moment. Well, not really. But anyway, this is another model that we can use to help us remember our true nature and connect with our spiritual selves. So this is a model that was provided to us by Jeanne de Kion. She is the wonderful translator and publisher of the Gospel of the Beloved Companion, the complete Gospel of Mary Magdalene. And when she was with us, she offered this analogy. She said that typically we go through life, and I'm going to describe it so that those listening later can know what I'm doing. I'm putting my hands in a prayer position. And she said typically there's a stimulus, and we respond. So I'm moving up my left hand for the stimulus and then my right hand to meet it in the response. And there's another stimulus and another response. And we're basically living like this. It's just another way of talking about what we were just discussing. What do you notice about this? What do you think would be happening if you were doing this? What? Friction. There's friction. There's heat. There's even a little bit of discomfort. What I notice about this is that you're very bound. You know what I mean? There's no openness here. There's no flexibility. There's no creativity. You're basically in this sort of a rut, if you will. Okay? Our spiritual work, our spiritual practice, is about interrupting this pattern so that we're not living our lives like automatons, doing what we've always done. And by the way, this has relevance not only to our hot button items, but also just our typical way of being, our habits, our addictions, things we wish we were doing differently, but for some reason, we just keep on doing the same thing. And so the means of interrupting this pattern is to create some space. We just create a little bit of a gap there. I want you to put your hands together for a moment. Rub them as if you were stimulating and responding. And now open your hands. You feel the energy there? You feel the spaciousness? Put your hands down. This gap, this opening that we create, to me is the key to everything. This spaciousness here is consciousness itself. This energy, this creative energy, in between what is going on, what happens to us, and what we do, the space in between, is who we truly are. It is the I am consciousness. It is beingness itself. In this space lies all of our potentiality, all of our imagination, all of the options open to us. When we create that space, we give ourselves the room, when there's a stimulus, to pause, breathe, and thoughtfully respond. Simply coming from that gap. That gap is one of the greatest gifts we could ever have. It's where God pours in. God pours out. And it's that simple. Not easy, but that simple. Many of you, I'm sure, have read Viktor Frankl's fantastic book. Everyone should read this book, Man's Search for Meaning. It's about his experiences in a Nazi concentration camp. It is incredibly moving. In that situation, the most testing, the most dire of situations, he was cultivating essentially this space to be able to be mindful of how he interpreted what was going on and how he was relating to it. And he said this. He said, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and freedom. It's all about creating that space. And there's a very simple way to do that. Very easy. Pause. In this fast-paced world, we think we've got to respond like this. Somebody says something, I've got an answer for you. Okay, I'll take care of that right away. This is what I'm feeling. That driver's on my tail. I got to give you a piece of my mind. Very speeded up. Doesn't have to be that way. The pause is a gift you can give yourself at any moment. And what a gift it is. Never underestimate the power of a pause. I actually think the pause may be our most valuable spiritual tool. Do you see that? Because when you pause, you're opening the way for higher consciousness, for intuition, for receiving the messages that you are meant to receive, so that then you can show up making the highest and best choice for yourself. Well, Jesus, I believe, was a master at this. You know, when we think about Jesus interacting with people, at least I know I do, I always imagine him being very centered, you know, very, very calm. Like, he didn't pop off at people. You know, he didn't have a knee-jerk reaction. It seems that he had a way of creating a little bit of space to make sure that he was coming from his highest self as he interacted with other people. And so even when he overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple, I very much believe that was planned and purposeful. That wasn't I think I'll throw a tantrum. It had a reason, and it had been thought about in advance. Well, there's another example that we're familiar with. It's mentioned in most, if not all, the canonical Gospels, and is also referenced in the Gospel of the Beloved Companion, the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. At early dawn, he came again into the temple and all the people came to him. He sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman taken in adultery. Having set her in the midst, they told him, "Rabbi, we found this woman in adultery, in the very act. Now in our law, Moses commanded us to stone such. What then do you say about her?" They said this, testing him, that they might trap him with his own words. But Yeshua stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he looked up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her." Again, he stooped down and with his finger wrote in the dust. Then when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, they released the woman and went out one by one, beginning from the oldest even to the last. And Yeshua was left alone with the woman where she was in the middle. Yeshua, standing up, saw her. He was stooping. Now he stands. He saw her and said, "Woman, where are your accusers? Did no one condemn you?" And she said, "No one, Rabbi." Yeshua said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. From now on, sin no more." This is a familiar and very beautiful story. Really a story about non-judgment and love and forgiveness, right? But let's notice for a moment a little detail in that story that often gets overlooked. That twice Jesus stooped down to write in the dust with his finger, then spoke after that. The significance does not seem to be about what he wrote in the dirt. You know, we're not really sure what it is, if he wrote, "God, please help me deal with these people," or, "or, oy vey," you know. What was significant is that he stooped down to write in the dirt. What I think was happening there is that he was giving himself a pause. He was creating an opening. He was breathing into the moment so that he could then speak from his greatest wisdom and centeredness. You know, remember that his adversaries were coming at him with the specific intention of catching him, of testing him and trapping him. And we know that when something is coming at us, it is a test, right? Because we have a knee-jerk reaction. And he knew to interrupt that and create the space. And look at the beautiful words that he shared. Lessons that we think about to this day. About being understanding and forgiving. Not throwing the first stone, etc. So when we want to create a pause in our lives, certainly we can stoop down and write in the dirt, but it isn't necessary. There are very simple steps we can follow to create that pause, create that gap. And the first one is to simply notice what is going on with us. You see, if we make a statement to ourselves, if we name it, as Dr. Siegel says, if we name it, we tame it. Because when you name it, for example, "I'm getting really triggered. I'm really getting upset about this." You have just moved yourself out of being a victim, if you will, to being an observer. You're now watching what is happening. Your higher self is seeing this unfold. And from that observer position, you can also look over the bigger picture and realize that you have options. So the first thing is to notice, and you may even say to yourself, what you're experiencing. The second step is to simply pause. Give yourself a moment. It doesn't have to be 5 or 10 minutes. Just give yourself a moment. If you're in a heated conversation with someone, you might allow there to be silence. If you have ever done that, it can be absolutely amazing how it shifts the energy. Certainly it shifts you, and it may even shift the other person. A little bit of silence. And then the third thing is when you're in that pause, breathe. breathe. Breathe is inspiring, bringing in the inspiration of spirit, releasing it out into the world. Ideally, you breathe three times, five on the in-breath, five on the out-breath. Do that three times. And then you have created the foundation for you to make a reasonable whole brain response. Let's try that breathing together just for a moment. Wherever you're at right now, you may or may not be feeling tension, but let's just see what effect this has. So if you like, close your eyes and let's breathe in to the count of five and out. And in, and out. And in, and out. Do you feel the difference? Do you feel a greater sense of relaxation and peace? Perhaps even a sense of possibilities. Feeling centered in yourself. When we breathe in this way, we open up that space to get to know the part of us that we most need to know and befriend and empower, our consciousness, our awareness. You know, you may think, well, this sounds like it's going to take a long time here. I'm a busy person. It doesn't take long. It could happen very, very quickly. You know, even emergency responders and crisis managers who must respond very quickly in an emergency situation, they are trained to, within split seconds, move into a place of being thoughtfully responsive versus knee-jerk reactive. And we can do the same thing. You know, really, it only takes a moment. As you practice that, it gets more and more familiar. It only takes a moment to move from being mindless to mindful, from being reactive to being responsive or responsible, from being oblivious to being aware. It really only takes a few breaths and a pause to move into that space in between, to move into that realm of love and possibilities and peace and comfort. And when we move into that, we don't need to lash out at people. We don't need to get upset. We don't need to throw a tantrum. We don't need to curse at the driver behind us, because all is well. You see this beautiful space. Even when you're going about your day-to-day life, you feel yourself being stressed. I invite you to just do this. Just invite, remind yourself that there's an opening you can create here. Make everything a little bit easier. Because the universe wants you to have a wonderful, beautiful, happy, and peaceful life. So the great philosopher Lao Tzu said this: "Do you have the patience to wait until your mud settles and the water is clear?" Do you? Do you have the patience? Because as you wait and the clearing happens, in that clearing, in that clear, pure water consciousness is your joy and your peace and your freedom. Let's turn now to our meditation. I invite you to get comfortable in your seat. Let's breathe in and out together. Release and let go. Allow yourself to relax from the very top of your head, all down your body to the tips of your toes. Imagine breathing in and out through your heart, knowing that spirit is breathing you this greater consciousness, this greater beingness, breathing in and out through your body. I invite you to call to mind in this moment whatever person or situation may be challenging you, whatever may be weighing on your heart or your mind, or creating any sense of struggle or reaction. Hold that image in your mind, but consider as if you are holding it a little bit out from you, regarding it there as separate from you. Take a moment to observe how you are feeling about it. I'm feeling stressed, I'm feeling sad, I'm being triggered, whatever it is. And allow yourself to pause as you create a sense of spaciousness around this issue. Create a sense of energy, breathing in to the count of five, and breathing out. Breathing in. And breathing out. And in. And out. Feel your oneness with this spacious energy, with this I am presence. All of the universe pulling for you, everything you need available to you. And continue to pause and to breathe as you await your guidance in the silence. We feel gratitude bubble up as we realize that everything in life is our teacher. And these stumbling blocks that come across our path are actually stepping stones to our higher awareness, understanding, our greater freedom and our joy. For the opportunity to practice creating space, knowing ourselves as the divine presence in all circumstances and rising up into our greatness, we are so grateful. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.